Welcome again to worship tonight. My name is Eric Holland. I'm the pastor here at Holden, and welcome to this celebration of the Eucharist on this Sunday evening. You'll need two things to follow along in the service tonight: a worship booklet entitled "A Global Liturgy." You'll also need one of those red ELWs. We'll sing a few hymns and songs from that book tonight, but most of the service is laid out right in that worship booklet that you have. It contains music from around the world. Again, global liturgy, including, you may have even seen a creed from the Maasai people in Tanzania. So, and simply invite you to follow along, and again, we'll announce some other hymns and songs along the way. For those of you who might be new worshiping with us here at Holden, welcome. But to all of you, a little invitation to take a look at the back inside cover of your red worship book. And there you'll find two things. First, you'll find a welcome to come, participate, and share in this meal as we gather around Christ's table. It is Christ's table, and all are welcome. You'll also find there a few words of explanation of how it is that we share in the communion meal here at Holden. I think you'll find it helpful to have read those as you or before you come up the line to receive communion tonight. Finally, I want to say thank you to Mary Albing, pastor of Lutheran Church of Christ the Redeemer in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for preaching and proclaiming the gospel among us tonight. We begin worship tonight by singing hymn number 715, 715, "Christ Be Our Light." We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5, again, number 715. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We sing Kyrie, Lord, have mercy.
Kyrie,
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that we may know your Son to be the true bread from heaven and share this bread with all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from 2 Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to Elisha, the man of God. 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Word of God, word of life. A reading from Ephesians. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through God's Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the festival of the Jewish people, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a child here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." This is the gospel. Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you from the risen one. Amen. Well, here we are. Things are proceeding pretty much as we expect. Many of you just got off the plane, train, rental, truck, boat, school bus, hitchhiking rickshaw. And some are new to the routine at Holden, but still, you know how this is going to go. It's church, and we're proceeding pretty much the way we always do. And as much as some of you love to be in worship, I'm guessing there are a substantial number of you beyond those who are just plain hot who don't really want to be here. I remember when my dad died, church was painful for Mom. So it may be for you. Someone has died, or you've had some other painful thing happen to you, or you just don't get why anyone would ever want to do this church thing. And you resent that your mother, your biological one, or your mother while you're here, Holden Village, has forced you to do this. The one real requirement of your time here. Or you're just tired after your plane, train, rental, truck, boat, school bus, hitchhiking, rickshaw, travel. Because, you know, it'll be over soon enough. And things are proceeding as usual, so you probably have some hope. The truth is, if things didn't proceed as usual, Jane and Bob and Eric and Tom and Paul and Carol might get upset if certain unusual things happened, because we like things to proceed the way they always do. And you just heard a miracle story. Those of us who have been in church all summer have heard one after another. Storm stilled, man with a demon reintroduced to his community, a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years healed, a dead girl raised up, yada, yada, yada. So you know how this is going to go. Another miracle, one you've heard about over and over. Jesus feeds 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch, big deal. And do you know how I know this was no big deal to you? Because there was no great intake of breath. No whistles, no one blinked an eye, and I was paying attention. And you guys, you people, you know, I've been in parishes where people are sleeping from beginning to end, and there's no hope, but you guys get excited if it's an 8-year-old's birthday, and you sing crazy songs, or if a marriage lasts for 40 years. You think that's a miracle. But Jesus feeds 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch, And nobody blinked an eye. So let's try this. Ready? When they were satisfied, Jesus told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. Way better. That's better. I would say that's way better. You know, You know how things go. But then there was Melba. Melba was the mother of my friend Melanie from seminary days. Melba had come to live her last few years with Melanie, who was a Lutheran pastor, which is how I met her. Melba was a grand lady of the South, raised Baptist, as was Melanie, because when you're down South, you know, you got your Lutheran, you got your Baptist, but you got your Lutheran Baptist, your Episcopalian Baptist, your Catholic Baptist. But anyway, when Melba moved to Minneapolis, she became a Lutheran. She said, out of respect for the clergy. Her daughter became a pastor, Lutheran, so she would be Lutheran too. I'd met Melba years before. You know how you meet your friends, parents, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, somebody's birthday or something like that. But our lives became entwined with Melba when Jane, my partner, began to give her piano lessons. She took them more for Melanie's sake, I think, than for her own. And then she joined my former husband's church, and there were a lot of Melba stories. Melba's life had been anything but easy. Her husband was demanding and miserly. She cared for him when he had severe diabetes, and one amputation after another was horrible. She waited on him hand and foot, and he was ungrateful. Saying he was difficult is a kindness. He made her struggle financially. And then when he finally died, and she could have been comfortable, he left most of his considerable money to a South Carolina college. So Melba had to move in with her daughter, not only to be close, but out of an unnecessary necessity. In spite of all these things, Melba was hospitable to a fault. She loved it when Jane came over for a lesson. In fact, they sometimes didn't get to the lesson. She made whoever was there feel they were the most important person in the whole world. She could laugh heartily at herself, and yet there was a great strength in her soft spoken ways. My friend Melanie is very articulate and bright, and like many of us clergy, knows everything and doesn't hesitate to share the knowledge. Melanie really had something to deal with when she took on her own mother, though Melba was not pushed around easily. My friend would assert something, and Melba would respond, "You don't know." She used it mostly with Melanie, but she shared it with others about politics, how to cook something, why things work the way they do. It's a kinder way of saying, "Don't be such a know-it-all," or "Who gave you a crystal ball?" "You don't know." Melba fell, cracked her pelvis severely, was told by her physician she'd probably not walk again. Her response was, "You don't know." And within a month, she was up and walking. A year later, she had trouble with one of her eyes. Again, her physician warned her she might lose sight in that eye. Well, how would he know that? "You don't know," she responded, and soon regained the sight in her eye. So tonight, I'm thinking about Melba. We think we know how things ought to proceed, but we don't. God can pretty quickly upset our expectations and our proceeding as normal. There's a whole crowd following Jesus. Jesus begins to plan for feeding them, but one disciple says it would take 6 months' wages, and, you know, they've just been toddling around after Jesus. Nobody has any money. And the other finds a little boy with his picnic and then says, "How will we feed this crowd with this?" Jesus has been turning their world upside down. You know, we've heard those miracles one after another, one sign after another, but still, they know. They know feeding this crowd is impossible. There is just not enough for them. But here's the thing. God doesn't care. God continues to upset things. God has different ideas for our lives than those for which we often settle. Emptiness, addiction, loneliness, resentment, grasping for security in all directions, fear, anxiety, a hungry, hungry life. This story of feeding 5,000 is God's way of saying to us 21st century people who can find any excuse for not believing in God's power in our lives, You don't know. You think death and taxes are the only sure thing? You don't know. You think war and violence are inevitable? You think you always know the right way? You think your value depends on these clay vessels? Well, guess what Melba would say? You don't know. The last winter Melba was at Melanie's, she was dying. She'd been bedridden for some time. But then one day she told Melba, she believed she would be dying the next day. Melanie, frustrated, said, "Mom, your vital signs are good. The hospice nurse says you're doing better. You're not dying. You could live for another year." "You don't know," Melba responded, and died the next day. And she was home, you know, in the arms of the crucified and risen one. The things we assume, the reality we expect, is not necessarily God's reality. God can upset things. God's like that. And today, like every other Sunday, is a resurrection day, a day of miracles, a day to begin again, to remember again, God is at work in the world and in your lives, redeeming, transforming, and offering to you abundant life in the realm of God. This is the one thing we can expect, the one thing we can know. I would say the rest we cannot. So you who came here expecting the same old, you don't know. God may upset everything for you. And you whose heart is aching, who are so tired, you will have rest. And you who've accepted all those limitations, the roof of this place will be lifted off before you and the stars will hang from heaven and you can reach up and pick one like an apple. And you who are so anxious and lonely, you who have seen such terrible things, the one who went to the cross is beside you, right beside you, with an arm around you, and goes with you so you can have peace. And you, with that hard knot in your heart, it can melt away. And you, oh prickly one, and you know I'm talking to you who has trouble letting one person near you, who has to have everything just so, you will be broken so that the whole world can fall in. And you, you 21st century people who know it's just bread, but that's okay, really yeast is kind of a miracle, and probably there were a lot of lunches, actually, and everybody kind of took them out when the little boy took out his. You will see beyond the Holden kitchen as though there's a line of people caring for you into eternity, one person behind the other, peeking out from behind the Holden baker like celebrants of the chicken dance, snaking back through your ancestors to the Reformation and Katie and to Patrick and St. Francis and the Clares and Augustine and the widows and the disciples and Jesus to a little boy with bread and fish in his bag held out to you. And you will recognize a long line of clay jars filled with the life of God. And you will take it in hungry hands, grasping a miracle to fill your need for forgiveness and inclusion and direction. And more, you will be the body of Christ for an equally hungry world. So for all of you who already know how this will all go, there's a spectacular offer for you tonight. The offer to you in this miracle story, the reign of God on earth, the mystery of the unknown, finally known for you. We usually accept less than life, but we're in the hands of one who loves to heal and feed and stir things into life. Today and tomorrow and all that's past is in God's hand, and God is a God of light
and life and love that will never let you go. And if you think you know a better way to live than in this mystery of God's love, well, you know what Melba would say. You don't know. Amen.
We sing in response hymn 737, hymn 737. The choir will sing verses stanzas 3 and 4. You are invited to stand.
We confess our faith together using the words of the Maasai Creed.
We believe in the one high God.
God, who created the beautiful world and everything in it.
With all our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, you teach your people the way of life. We ask that you inspire your church, that all Christian people may be doers of your word. Be with the youth of the ELCA in New Orleans as they gather in your name this week. God of mercy, you breathe life into all creation. Infuse this earth with new life, especially where it has been devastated, polluted, and abused. God of mercy, righteous God, you promise justice and peace. Enable understanding among people. Bring an end to violence and war, softening hearts hardened by hate. God of mercy, in your compassion, supply care to all who suffer from disaster, war, or abuse, from persecution or imprisonment, from depression, illness, and grief. We pray especially for Margaret Sarton, recovering from hip surgery, and for Peter Thompson's son, Ben, facing multiple eye surgeries after a severe accident. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watchful God, be with the family, friends, and loved ones of Sean and Gunther, missing these many weeks. May they find comfort in your guiding presence. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
With your tenderness, attend to the ailments of our communities. Strengthen our neighborhoods, schools, and workplaces, that they may be places of caring and support. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for those saints whose earthly journey has ended and now rest in your love, especially for Janet Haas. Be with her husband Marv and his family as they mourn her passing. We also remember the friends and family of John Stephen Paul. May their mourning turn to dancing in the promise of eternal life given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep us all faithful in our journey and confident that nothing can separate us from your love. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, you are near to us whenever we cry out to you. In your strong and gentle embrace, we commend all for whom we pray, through Christ and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Share a sign of God's peace with each other. Feel free to continue sharing God's peace with each other. I'll make now just a few announcements about offering. In just a moment, the offering plates will be passed around the baskets, actually. Know that everything that we collect here during our Eucharist services is sent away. There's some more information on the back wall about the places we're sending what we collect, but we're sending to three places. Women's Hearth in Spokane, it's a center for women and children there. Also Global Health Ministries of Minneapolis and LIRS of Baltimore, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. So when those baskets go around, we do invite you to give generously. As the gifts are brought forward, we will sing the offering song from Togo. The choir will sing first in Togolese, and then we'll all join in English.
Let us pray. Holy God, you provide us with every gift of creation, and you quench our thirst with living water. Receive these tokens of your goodness to us. May our lives be bread for the hungry and streams in the wilderness, signs of the abundance of your grace in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good to praise you, holy, life-giving God, for all your gifts, and especially for the gift of the resurrection of our crucified Savior Jesus, who has brought the promise of new life to all the earth. And so, with the whole living and rising earth, with land and sky and sea and all their creatures, and with all the heavens, we here in this valley now lift our voices and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Gathered together around the table, let us pray as Jesus taught.
God has prepared a table before you. Goodness and mercy are yours this night.
We sing hymn number 486, God Extends an Invitation, number 486. We sing hymn number 401. 401, Gracious Spirit, hear our pleading.
Thank you.
Hymn number 461, All Who Hunger Gather Gladly, number 461. We'll sing hymn number 472, Eat This Bread, 472.
Thank you.
point.
We'll sing the Palestinian hymn printed in your worship folder.
Let us pray. We bless you, O God, for the free gift of righteousness and peace in Jesus Christ, whose body and blood have nourished us here. Lead us out from this place of prayer as a light to the world, so that we will be a blessing to others in the name of Christ.
Amen. Receive the blessing. May God restore in you joy, strengthen you to love your neighbor, grant you harmony with all creation, and may the blessing of God, holy, merciful, three in one, be with you now and always.
Amen.
As our sending tonight, we sing hymn number 565. a few announcements about this hymn here. We'll give this a shot tonight, see how it works. We'll sing all five verses, and then as we leave, we'll continue to sing stanza five as a round. And so, as you're comfortable, just lay your books down on your pews and keep singing the round as we go out into this night. The round will begin over here, part 1, 2, 3, and 4, and Bob will lead us as we sing. Go ahead. No.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.